I scold her. But the game of get the pen gives her great pleasure. She jumps on my lap, landing squarely on my notebook. She grabs my pen and scampers away. So now I am writing with pen number 2. What I want to write about is writing itself. I'll start with a flora and fauna report. My roses are blooming, scarlet and white. Songbirds carol from the junipers. Underfoot, quick-witted gray lizards scoot clear of the path. Lily darts in pursuit. It's only early May, but Santa Fe is enjoying an early summer. Today's day is hot and hazy. The mountains are blurred. Walking with Lily, I am quickly thirsty. When cars pass us on our dirt road, clouds of dust linger in the air. I pause and wait for the dust to settle before pressing on. Our walks are a daily discipline I set for myself. On the days when our walks are aborted, too much wind or rain, Lily grows restless, pacing the Saltillo tiles of my adobe house. "Lily," I tell her, "we'll go tomorrow." When nightfall comes, Lily settles down. Last night's three-quarter moon cleared the mountains as a silvery disk. Tonight the moon will be near full, and its glow will grace the garden, an inviting light to write by. And so, I write. Writing, like walking, is a daily discipline. Like Lily, I grow restless if the routine is skipped. And so now, I take pen to page, writing the details of my day, knowing that writing leads to writing. For 6 months now, I have been between books, officially not writing, except for my morning pages. I have found myself writing cards and letters to my far-flung friends. Inspired by my example, many of them have written me back, our cards crossing in the mail. "We live so far apart," my friend Jennifer had taken to moaning. I carefully selected the cards I sent to her. Photographic images of New Mexico winging their way to Florida. I sent a picture of our cathedral, of a ristra, a string of red chili peppers, of a cactus flower in bloom. Jennifer would be delighted by the photos and my terse, card-sized notes. She no longer complains of our separation. The written word and pictures soothe her psyche, as no amount of telephone chat can. Sitting at my dining room table, I write out my note cards. I am provoked to write with great specificity. A card with roses to Laura finds me reporting on my own roses. A card with an owl, and I am telling my mentor, poet Juliana McCarthy, how very much I appreciate her wisdom. My daughter, Domenica, a horse lover, received a card of ponies and a note inquiring her progress with a young horse she's schooling. Each note tells the recipient they are cherished. I have taken the time to write. Out at a cafe, I enjoy a soy chai latte. I write to my colleague, Emma Lively, knowing her preference for a fancy cappuccino. "I got your card," Laura reports a quick 3 days later. Her card features rambling roses, tall, like Laura herself. "It was beautiful," she continues. Seated again at my dining room table, I send her a card of delphiniums. I remember that she likes blue. "You are beloved," our cards say, "and seeing is believing." We hoard our handwritten notes. My daughter reports her cards are strung on yarn, gracing her bookshelf. "They're so happy," she says. And writing is happy. A potent mood changer, writing tutors us in joy. Putting pen to page, we cherish our lives. We matter, our writing declares. Taking the time and effort to describe our moods, we find those moods lightening. Paying attention, we soothe the anxious part of ourselves that wonders, "What about me?" No longer orphans, we are beloved. And writing to our friend tells them they are beloved. Writing writes things between us. The distances common to modern life are diminished. We close the gap of good intention.